And as you're turning, please remember in your prayers, Sister Ethel's friends and family. Remember Sister Fanny's son, Brother Anton. Remember the Martin family. Remember the Kenny family, the Scott family. Remember the Heath family. There was some snow issues going on in some counties, that we pray for traveling mercies for everyone that's in these snowbelt areas, because it's really been a lot of things going on relative to the snow and the weather. So we just ask that everybody please be safe. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have you guys been learning some things from Genesis? Has it been a blessing to you? It's been a blessing to me in Sunday school as well as in church service. I've just learned so much from Genesis, and we're just going to ask God's blessings on his word. Lord, we just thank you for this service. We ask you, Lord Jesus, if you would be glorified in our midst. And all that we do, may your people be edified. May we grow, learn. May we become transformed to be like you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So in Genesis 1, the very first verse, in the very first chapter of the Bible, tells us pretty much everything we need to know about how great God is and who started everything. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So just on that alone, I'm encouraged to know that if I believe that, listen, if I believe that, then it makes it easier for me to believe everything else for the next 66 books in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So just a couple facts that we want to establish. We talked a little bit about it last week. I want to reiterate a couple of things. We talked in Sunday school about how God created man on day six. And for man to survive everything leading up to day six, days one, two, three, four, and five, had to set the stage and be perfect and create an environment in which man could survive. So on day one, God separated waters. He says that he separated the darkness from the deep, and he separated the waters from the wind and the formless areas of the earth. He made light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God separated light from the darkness. And basically, to understand why we don't have to buy into the evolutionary lie is that God put these operators. An operator is, in an engineering sense, a word or a phrase or a clause that allows a machine to get instructions that says, you will do this and you will do no more. It provides boundaries. It provides limits. So God kind of squelched the whole thing about the millions of years and gap theories and billions of years by saying, and there was the evening, I'm reading verse 5 of Genesis 1, and there was the morning one day, Hebrew word yom, one 24-hour solar day. There are other words that could have been used to describe if the days were ages or eons or long periods of time, if there were gaps between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, if there were time spans. But God used these to define that he created the earth on his schedule, systematically, in order, in consecutive, six consecutive days. And he rested from working, rested or stopped working for day seven. Amen? So, five facts. Fact number one, God created the heavens and the earth, ex nihilo. The Latin word means something out of nothing. God took nothing, literally nothing, and he made something. He didn't rearrange things or repurpose things or restructure things or redesign things. He took nothing and spoke it into existence and made nothing become something. Number two, there's no gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:3. There's not millions of years. There's not billions of years. The Lord defined it as there was one solar day, one rotation of the earth, one 24-hour period that constructed a day. And God said, he defined it by saying that there was evening and there was morning. He didn't say there were millions of seasons or millions of ages, just evening and morning provided a bookend for the day. The day starts in the morning, the day ends in the evening. Number three, God created all of these things in six 24-hour days. According to the scripture, that's reemphasized in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Actually, I want you to turn to that real quick. I want you to see that. In Exodus chapter 20, because he reiterates this when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and he establishes the fact that he made everything in six 24-hour days. In verse 11 of Exodus chapter 20, it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." So God created this formula. He created this pattern that in 7 days, we should work six and rest one. God was so merciful that he even rested the earth. He talked to the Israelites about farming and agriculture, and he said that you should allow the land a period of time every 7 years. Let the land rest. Don't plant any seeds. Don't grow any crops. Don't cultivate the land. Don't overwork it. Let the land rest to replenish itself, to renew itself, to reestablish the soil and the nutrients in the soil, to allow it to be in a perfect position for growth. God even allowed the land to rest. So everything is in the scripture is for a purpose. Listen, there are no wasted lines. You know, when I look at a really, really good detective movie or a really good mystery written by a really good author, I know that there will be no throwaway lines. There might be some misdirection to keep you from solving the mystery or solving the crime or the riddle instantaneously, especially if it's a 1 or 2 hour presentation. But basically, everything counts because it's leading you toward a conclusion. God is the same way. Everything in his word, it's instrumental, it's integrated, it's synchronized, it's put in a place, it's put in an order, it provides a picture, it provides a pattern so that it's a sequential story that gives us an end, a beginning, a middle, and an end. Amen? And so God said, number four, God said that everything in his creation was good. It was good, and eventually in verse 31, going back to Genesis 1, it was very good. God didn't have any mistakes. There were no do-overs, right? There was no wasted material. He didn't give us 3 arms and 2 heads. He didn't give us 6 knees. He gave us just what we needed without any surplus, right? It's amazing how when God created everything, it was perfect for the first 2 chapters. And then sin was introduced into the world, and then things got bad. Things went downhill. And you know what? And here's another argument, by the way, guys. Listen to this. Relative to evolution versus creation, with creation, when God made everything, things started at their best. Genesis 1 and 2, things started at their best, and then starting in Genesis 3, things went into decline. It went into decline. So the whole second law of thermodynamics about things decaying and destroying and devolving, all is because sin brought about death, and death brought about disease and destruction and sorrow and pain and suffering. All of that came as sin entered the world, and then things went down. To the extent that when we get to Genesis 6, God just says, hey, let's just wipe this out and start over. Let's start fresh. But listen to this. With evolution, things automatically start down. Their idea is that we started in this primordial soup, this chaos, this confusion, this randomness, And from this randomness, from this big bang happening, we went from chaos to order. Well, that's logically incorrect. It's impossible. It defies all the laws of physics. It defies all the laws of chemistry. To go from chaos to order is irrational. It's illogical. It doesn't happen. Things go downward. As time goes on, things devolve. Things rust. It decays. It goes to a state of confusion and chaos from order. So you don't go upwards, you go downwards. Things break down. Even our bodies, right? We don't feel like we felt when we were 10, 20, 30, 40. By the way, 70 is the new 40. Amen. So for those of us that are knocking on the door, I'm 70 this year. I'll be 70. The 70 is the new 40. So you know what? We're getting better, guys. Don't give up, baby boomers. Power to the baby boomers. So we our bodies even suffer the effects of sin because we're constantly in a state of decline, right? We get older, we get a little slower. Things start moving a little, you know, we start making involuntary sounds when we go up the steps. I think like, wow, where did that come from? I mean, I used to be like my grandkids and just bounce around, jump. I remember even in my 20s and 30s, I could work 15, 16 hours a day, 17 hours a day, work, operate on 4 hours of sleep and a couple burgers and a fry, and I'm good to go. But now I got a bowl, sitting on the organ, that Sister Marie made, I got a bowl of oatmeal, some cinnamon and blueberries that I need. And then to make matters worse, you got people like Marcus White that whatever you say, you're 68, he say you're 72. If you're 72, you're 78. So, you know, you got people adding years, but is it, in spite of it all, right, isn't God good? God is good. If you're 60, if you're 70, if you're 80, if you're 90, whatever age you are, God is still good. God keeps us as seniors. He keeps us as juniors. He keeps us as infants. He keeps us as adolescents. Wherever, whatever season of life we're in, God preserves us. Amen. It's amazing. You know, we think that being young is so blessed and so great. And so I have more brushes with death. Literally, I have more brushes with death in my teens and 20s than I ever have later on, at least that I'm aware of. I remember almost drowning twice, literally. You know, blacks have no business swimming anyway. And I was out there swimming in a lake, swimming in a pool, just kidding. Swimming in a lake, swimming in a pool, almost drowned, was rescued twice in my life, in my 20s and in my teens. I remember that. I remember having some, and my family can attest to this, being in some near car accidents that should have been fatal. That was in my teens and 20s. I remember we were driving from St. Louis to Akron once, and I don't know if Marie even remembers this. We had stopped at a truck stop, and it was during the winter time, and we were getting back on the road, and the light had turned green. It was my turn to go. I was going to get on the entrance ramp to get on I-70 eastbound. A semi truck was getting off of I-70, and it was supposed to turn right into the truck stop, right? Well, it was an icy, snowy day, and this was a semi, 18-wheeler, 72 inches, I think. Just, it was not 72, 100 and some inches. It just kept going. The truck tried to stop. The semi tried to stop. It slid, ladies and gentlemen, from where it stopped on its side of the road across the street, a four-lane highway, into my entrance to the interstate. Had I just did what I was supposed to do, which was to go right on green, I had the right of way, we would have been smashed and crushed. There's no way we walk away from that. No way. No way. But God knew a way. God had a way. He said, you know what? He said, Willie Harris Robinson, you stop right now. Don't go. Keep your foot on the brake. Don't put it on the gas because I don't need you to do anything. And the truck just slid right in front of us and just kept going. He could not stop. That was when we were young. So you know what? God is blessing us and protecting us at every season of our life, every stage. We don't know what angels God has dispatched in our behalf, on our behalf, to protect us from danger, seen and unseen. At times, we don't even know. We don't even know how many times God has spared our lives and spared us health-wise and spared our jobs and spared our family that we don't even know about. These are just a few that we can recall. So when he says that everything he made was good, it's still good. God is still good. He is still keeping us. He is still preserving us. He is still watching over us. He is still saving us and rescuing us, even now. So when we come together on the Lord's Day, this is the time to say, Lord, it's been a tough week. At work, my backups ain't working. My car ain't running right. My money is funny. My kids acting up. My job giving me problems. I have issues with my spouse. Got issues with my neighbors. Got issues with my car. But Lord, you are good. You're still good. We're still standing. The song says, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. He has kept us this far. He will not fail me now. He won't. He won't. Woo. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He has not overlooked you. You hear me, people on Zoom? He has not forgotten you. He has not dismissed you. He has not overlooked anything. He does not have amnesia. He does not have dementia. He doesn't have to say, oops. He doesn't have to say, remind me. God is always on time, on spot, all the time, every day. I'm done. I'm going to tell you what. When it says that God, everything he made was good, it was good. And it's still good. And he is, I like the way Sister Jamie says, he is a sweetheart. Jesus is a sweetheart. The fact that he loves us, even when we didn't love him, even when we didn't want him, even when we didn't know him, he loved us because he wanted to. He initiated the love. You better know that you mean something to him. You're important to him. You hear me, Dennis? You're important to him. You hear me, Kevin? You're important to him. You hear me, Sister Ethel, Sister Rose Royale? You are important to him. Nothing by accident. We're not here by chance. God did not overlook anything. I can't wait till we start talking about what he did for Abraham. I can't wait till we start talking about what he did for Isaac. And how Isaac said, Father, here is the wood, here is the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And the Lord told Abraham, God will provide himself, not for himself, not through himself. God will provide himself a sacrifice. So be cool, Isaac. It's all good. God got you. God got you, Jacob. As he's wrestling all night at the Brook of Jabbok, and he's wrestling. He said, I will not. Tim just preached that amazing sermon years ago. I will not let you go till you bless me. I will not stop. And God blesses him, and he spared his life against his brave brother Esau. And when you go on down the road, you get to Joseph. I know that's Jamie's boy. You get to Joseph, and how he's just left for dead. But God said, I'm going to make a way out of no way. I'm not only going to rescue you. Listen, guys, I'm not only going to save you, but I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to promote you. You hear that, everybody? God's going to promote us. He's going to elevate us. He keeps us. He sustains us. He revives us. He thinks about us. David said, when I go to sleep at night, when I wake up, you still have thoughts of me. You collect my tears in your bottle. Nothing gets by you. You know the hair that's on my head. You know when a hair falls. That's the guy. That's what I love about what Rick and Bakar were saying about the king. That's the king that we serve. That nothing passes his inspection. That nothing gets under his radar. That nothing drops by the wayside. He knows, and he's aware of everything. What a mighty God we serve. You should always have a praise in your heart. Psalms 150, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. God is always worthy of our praises, even in the toughest times. I know some of us are going through some things. I read that prayer list. But as I sit down, let me encourage all of you, whatever you're going through, whatever you're in the midst of, whatever challenge that you're encountering right now, don't despair. Don't give up. Know that God is aware. He saw this coming. This is no accident. This is no surprise. This didn't just appear out of nowhere. God saw this coming and prepared you as he prepared Esther in the book of Esther when her cousin Mordecai said, for such a time as this, for such a time as this, God brought you to it. He will bring you through it. He will give you victory. He will allow you to have dominion over whatever problems are going on in your life because he promised it. He promises if he has to deliver us through the flame or he has to deliver us in the flame, our prayer should be as the Hebrew voice, God will deliver me. He will deliver us. His methods are his methods. His rationale is his rationale. Which path he takes is his business. But I know that he has something good for us. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I have a book in my library called Don't Die in the Winter. And the thesis of the book is don't let the winter of your life, don't let the problems and challenges, don't let the things that are going through your winter that make you cold and shiver, that brings a chill to you, that brings a challenge to you, don't let that be your death because God has victory for us. Don't die in the winter because spring is coming. Don't die in the winter because God is warm. Don't die in the winter because God radiates through his sun, his S-O-N, his S-U-N. God is always there to make a difference. Don't die in the winter because God is warm. God is light, and in him is the light of the world. Don't die in the winter because God has spring coming. He has deliverance. He has a new season for us. Hey, Rod, if I don't sit out, I'm going to start running. If I don't sit out, I'm going to start running because I feel the Lord's presence. I know he has something good for us. As Oral Roberts used to say, God has something good. Something good is going to happen to us. God is up to something good. God is going to do something good. He is at work. He never forgets. He never fails. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is for real in our lives. God bless you.